It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, the first full week of November 2019 begins with this here program. It is the fourth day of November 2019, as Dr. Bill pointed out earlier today, the penultimate month of 2019. That's a fun word, penultimate. Next to last. Isn't English just wonderful? Yes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and well, it's Moran Monday. Oh, glory. I mean, that's Wednesday language, but still, we got an evening ahead of us. Oh, yes, we do. And just a gentle reminder that every program here begins with gratitude. So thanks going out over the course of the weekend to Rocco and DeBerg. Thanks to Elizabeth. Thank you to Dave. Thank you to Reggie. Thanks very kindly to Stephen and to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you to John. Thank you to Janice. Thank you very kindly to Thomas, to Nagla, to Catherine, and to Paul. Those are our subscribers for the 4th, the 3rd, and the 2nd of November. Thank you very kindly indeed. Thanks for all the input regarding my the question I put to the group on this past Friday. I've got I haven't done it yet. It's been rather a busy weekend. But I've fired up healthcare.gov, and I'm going to try to see once again if they... I'm going to fill out all the stuff and watch them laugh at me. But we'll see what happens from there on. I don't know. That's where that stands. Fundraising goal for this evening is the usual $200. Like I said, whatever we're going to do, I'm not going to start it until next month. We're going to have a month to talk about it. But the fundraising goal for, 10 at 20, 20 at 10, et cetera, 1 at 2, 2 at 1, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, and all the various ciphering that goes into all of that. Bit of a program note for this evening. It's going to be a short program. Probably won't get an entire program in simply because tomorrow morning is a court date. And so Agnes and Ferg and I all have to be there. And we will. And things have to be, sorted out and gone through, and so we'll get as far down the road as we can, but probably won't go all the way to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time because, well, that happened this weekend too. Big darkness soon come. I know. Twice a year we observe the old Native American saying that only a white man would think that you can take a piece off one end of a blanket and put it on the other end of the blanket and have more blanket. That applies to daylight savings time particularly, but it's true both times of the year. It's just that this is the dark side of it. And so it's full dark outside now. Here, you know, 5 minutes past 6 p.m. as we record the program live in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. And I guess, sunrise is coming around 7 in the morning-ish. So about 11 hours of daylight. And it will, of course, because of the nature of this little little blue-green time machine hurtling in its helical fashion around the sun and through the universe, every day is a little shorter until about the 21st, 22nd of December, and then the sun is reborn. And we can all understand why that's the Christmas season. Yeah, because Christianity early on appropriated the symbology of the pagans whom they supplanted. So we celebrate the rebirth of the sun somewhere around or shortly after the solstice, the winter solstice. I might be a little grim between now and then. I think I suffer from seasonal affective disorder syndrome or whatever it is. I like light and warmth. Warmth and light. If you're in a poetic mood, go and read Robert Frost's brief. Well, it's not terribly brief. It's long enough. Happiness makes up in height for what it lacks in length. So anyway, we'll get the program, we'll get some sort of an amount of program in this evening, and then go from there. It is, of course, Moran Monday. And it's almost as though Jim is anticipating where I was going to go right off the bat for this Moran Monday. Subject line, Medicare for All. Great idea. In response to opposition, all programs such as Social Security and Medicare during their inception were opposed. Now see how valuable they are. I know. And opposed primarily by, Republicans who have, let's include the National Labor Relations Act in that, Jim, because the rights of working people were strenuously opposed by Republicans back when that was passed during FDR's first administration. And as I noted the other night, as soon as the Republicans got power back in their hands in the 1950s, they immediately began working to curtail the rights of working people to withhold or actually to exert ownership over their own labor. And I think that's one of the reasons for the opposition to Medicare for All is that the people who oppose it recognize that as soon as we get it, it will become cherished, it will become a part of the fabric of what it means to be an American, and people will fight tooth and toenail to hang on to it when Republicans start trying to take it away. I have seen some questions by alleged Democrats saying, back in 2016 when Hillary said she was going to put all the coal miners out of work, she said we needed a program to retrain those miners. Yeah, she did, and she was roundly excoriated for it. She didn't do it the best that it could have been done. It's never a good idea to refer to people who are on the margins as those people. And she did. She did at her Ohio town hall. She those peopled Appalachian folks. I mean, it's just a fact. But the idea, the query being, if we needed a retraining program for miners, Why isn't anybody saying we need a retraining program for all the people who work for all the insurance companies that are going to get froed out of office, froed out of their jobs? Yeah, well, no, it's not, because frankly, you're going to have a pretty massive bureaucracy. I mean, you can't have Medicare for all and small government. Of course, remember, small government is the fetish object of Republicans and maggots and conservatives everywhere. Going to have some small government. We've never been worth a damn with a small government. It takes a government commensurate with the size of the country to keep a country of this size running. So I dare say that the people who are working in claims management and things like that will very likely have work under a Medicare for all system. You know who's not going to have work? The CEOs and the CFOs and the COOs and the hacks and flacks of the insurance industry PR teams. They might actually have to go and find honest work, and to be quite candid, it doesn't bust my ass thinking about them actually earning an honest living for a change. Yeah, I was watching TV this morning, and back in the 80s, there was an electronica band out of the UK called Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, or OMD. And they had a moderately successful hit around 1986 with a song called If You Leave. It was catchy. It had decent lyrics, and you could dance to it. And I always kind of liked the band. For some reason or another, I thought of them in the same vein that I thought of, like the Psychedelic Furs. Well, there's an ad now, and you know how it is with me and ads. I can't help ads and me, I suppose. I can't help noticing them because it makes me want the product or does what it's designed to do, but because I'm constantly looking at these things, trying to figure out how people are being manipulated. Well, the fact of the matter is, a person born in 1969 is turning 50 this year. And so that person born in 1969 was 17 when OMD's If You Leave hit the charts. And that's a critical time in terms of one's cultural consciousness. So if you were born in 68, you were 18. If you were born in 67, you were 19. If you were born in 66, you were 20. And man, that's right in the sweet spot of when you're subscribed to Rolling Stone and you read with eager anticipation the album reviews there and over in Playboy and whatnot. And so lo and behold, Fidelity Investments, this is definitely not an unpaid product placement, because I'm certainly not recommending whatever capitalist predatory crap they do. They've purchased the rights to Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark's If You Leave, because some ad asshole recognized that's the song you want for the 50s, the late 40s, early 50s crowd now, and that's who you're targeting to try to get them to take whatever money they have and put it on the roulette wheel, not in Vegas, but on Wall Street, and give the wheel a spin and say, red, no, black, no, red, oh, it's black, you lose everything, too bad. You're going to be eating canned mackerel, and you're going to have to make a can of it stretch 3 days when you're retired there, you Generation X, are you? And that was, you know, just part of my morning. Recognizing that, well, and I mean, I was familiar with this, so I guess I'm part of who it's being aimed at too. Because if it was being aimed at millennials, you would not use orchestral maneuvers in the dark, I don't think. Maybe you'd use sounds like Teen Spirit, smells like Teen Spirit or something. I just yanked that one out of nowhere, but because capitalism. And so I mention all of that because our sort of get things started story for this Moran Monday has to do with Medicare for all, health care. It's very much on my mind. Worried as hell about FERG. I mean, he at least has Medicaid now, but until we get the testing back, we're all on pins and needles, walking on eggshells, on tenterhooks, whatever image you prefer, whatever metaphor you prefer. I've got an out-of-pocket doctor's appointment on Friday, and I think we're going to have to tinker with my blood pressure medication because I hadn't been taking it lately. But then I realized that, for about the last month or so, I've had a daily headache, and so I went out and sprang for a blood pressure monitor, and that thing handed me some terrifying numbers. Then, so we're going to have a talk about blood pressure medicine. And, you know, of course, you know, they won't see me until I hand them the cash, because that's how a capitalist healthcare system works. OMG, OMD, Lady B says, prom scene, the end of Pretty in Pink, Molly Ringwald, John Cryer, Andrew McCarthy, and James Spader. Oh, my God, I was 17 years old. Absolutely, they're trying to appeal to people like me. Yeah, we watched that movie not long back. I guess they call it coming of age, but it's kind of painful. And, James Spader in that film is such a dick. If that's the case, Ron and Raleigh says, you need to explain why Miss Nancy was on Bloomberg explaining why she didn't like the idea of Medicare for all. She was even going on about PAYGO. I know you're a fan of Miss Nancy, and I'll give her props for wrangling her caucus. However, as far as programs, she is as bad as Chuckle Schumer. If Bernie wins or Elizabeth Warren wins, Miss Nancy will put as many impediments in the way of Medicare for all as she can. She and her staff have been talking down MFA for over 2 years. I'm rooting for her opponent in her upcoming race. Well, Ron, she plays a different game on a different level than we do. She was also heartily opposed to impeachment, and yet employing that FDR maxim, now make me do it. We think we've made her do it. When the whole time she was playing a long game that nobody else quite realized. But, she was so opposed to impeachment. And now here we are. And, yeah, I know she said things about Medicare for All. I would expect her to. But then again, she also seems to have a willingness to acknowledge the will of the people. And when her caucus got to the point of impeachment, she was in. And she has done it in such a way that she has outmaneuvered Nitwit Nero, arguably not the most difficult job in the world, but she has. It is as though she took one of those little Asian thumb toys and got him to put it on both thumbs, and now she won't tell him how to take it off. I have a feeling that if we can get to Medicare for All, she'll be part of it. Not necessarily a fan, I don't guess, but I have respect for people who know how to do their damn jobs and do it well. I mean, I know there are some House members who have, you know, their followings and whatnot. Not many of them are ready to run the House. And I would say, in her defense, that being Speaker of the House is probably far more difficult than being Majority Leader in the Senate, because as Majority Leader in the Senate, you can just say, it's my way or the highway. Witness the last far too many years of Moscow Mitch McConnell. Bills go over, they land on his desk, they start gathering dust in a pool of blood. That's just how it... Not a lot of work there. And Nitwit Nero has proven to us that, and frankly every other Republican president in recent in living memory, has proven to us that there's not a whole lot to president in if you're just going to, if all you want to do is loot the country, loot the government for the benefit of your cronies. Take note of the fact that the presidency makes Democratic presidents old. The most current example being Barack Obama, who entered the White House as Will Smith and left it as Ossie Davis. But on the other hand, well, Ronnie left the office. Granted, he didn't have a brain, but he left the office looking younger than he went into it. But it's on us to get Medicare for All. And only us. And the people who want it worst, it's their job. The ones who are using it as a political football or tool or position or policy, it's on them to competently explain it to the American people well enough that more of us will want it. And I really am still waiting for that person who comes along and says, "Oh, wait. I'm sorry, you're scared to have the same kind of health insurance that old people have? Or that people with disabilities have? You're scared of that? Because you think you're better than them? Or maybe you're afraid that you aren't and this might somehow point that out? Well, shucks. Tell you what, we'll leave you a handful of billionaire health insurance executives and you can continue to give them your money, and they can continue to fuck you until you wise up and realize you'd rather trust your fellow Americans for your health care than some billionaire who's using you to finance his 13th fucking vacation home, you genius, you." And that is to say, I found it interesting this morning on my filthy morning habit to note that they invited Cory Booker on. And Cory Booker flatly said, in regard to Medicare for All, we have to figure out something that's going to bring the whole country along, or at least a majority. And he specifically cited my senior senator, Joe Manchin, as an example of someone who was willing to stand in the way of the ability of every American to go to the doctor when they're sick. And it's true. I mean, I thought it was kind of brave. You know, senators don't usually shit on other senators or call them out or name check them in public as being part of the problem when they're, you know, ostensibly and allegedly from your own party. But Joe's that guy. And of course, we talked about Joe last week in terms of his unwillingness to vote for Bernie for president if Bernie were his party's nominee. Now, if I was a betting man and I had a fin in my pocket and I was standing out in, oh, I don't know, Vegas or Reno or, I don't know, Atlantic City or somewhere that took, that made book on random shit, I would not take that fin out of my pocket and bet it on Bernie being the Democratic Party nominee. Not because of goddamn DNC or fucking Debbie Wasserman Schultz or any of that scab-picking horse shit from 2016, but simply because there are so many other candidates in the race right now. We'll have to just wait and see. We're about 100 days out from Iowa and New Hampshire. We are, as of this evening, 300, dig it, 364 days away from the presidential election of 2020. And of course, we are all watching this take shape and play out inside a capitalism-driven electoral system that is tilted by electoral gobbledygook and anachronistic remnants of our vicious slavery past. I mean, of course, the Electoral College. Every time I hear some Republicans say, well, you know, the Democrats want to undo the will of the majority of Americans with this here impeachment. They have a little connection. Because nobody on the other side of those interviews ever even looks at these fuckers and says, hey, Kevin McCarthy, you fuckwit. He got 3 million fewer votes than Hillary Clinton. If we removed him from office, we would actually be undoing the results of an injustice that took place in the first place. Did you ever think about it that way, Kev? Because your boy Nitwit Nero is only in office by operation of a thing that was put in the Constitution to mollify a bunch of goddamn slavers. How about that, Kevs? Or Jim Shorts Jordan? Or Louis Asparagus Gohmert? Or Mark, dear friends of Elijah Cummings, but he's dead now, so I'm free to argue some seriously racist shit, Meadows? Because that's the reality. And yes, as Anatole points out in the chat room, Joe Manchin is an asshole. But Joe's running around out there saying things like he said last week, we can't even afford Medicare for some. And it drives me positively bananas that these people like Joe Manchin talk about financial unwillingness as if it is some sort of immutable law of nature. Nobody ever told Joe that we can't afford some F-35 flying paperweights. And yet the money is there hemorrhaging secondly out of the Pentagon budget to support that boondoggle. Nobody ever said, hey, we really can't afford these off-the-books wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. No. No, the only time we ever get told we can't afford it is if it's something that would benefit all of the American people, you know, the hoi polloi, us proles, as opposed to a bunch of rotten-ass defense contractors and people out there selling shares to beefsteak mines. But if it's something like Medicare, we can't afford Medicare for some. But I got to say, I was proud of Cory Booker simply for pointing out that Joe Manchin, who, by the way, is the dadums for a multi-millionaire, tens of millionaires, hundreds of millionaires, daughter, Heather Bresch, who made at least some of her scratch by making it near impossible for people with deadly allergies to things like bee stings to have a couple of EpiPens laying around in case a bee should happen to do what bees occasionally do, that is, sting people. But once again, it's having people call that shit out that matters. Yeah, later on they had Pete Buttigieg on, and I just clicked. Sorry, that was enough of that. But as far as morons go, I don't know who the moron is, us or him. Is he a moron because he doesn't understand that the only reason we don't already have Medicare for all is because Republicans stopped it way, way, way back when it would have been easy to institute back during the Truman administration? Is it because he's too much of a moron to understand that the world is not shaped and formed as a law of nature by capitalism, that capitalism isn't up there with the gravity and Boyle's gas laws as determinative of how the world works? Or is he just afraid he might someday have to work for a living? God, he's in his 70s. How much more does he need? How many more millions? Oh, wait, he's not thinking about him, though. Heather's nowhere near retirement age. And she's gonna have to have several Brinks trucks worth of wealth to tow behind her cortege when she finally goes to her long home. Oh, no. No, that's that even nexter generation of mansions. See, this is royalistic monarchical thinking. I mean, I was talking about not having enough money for wars. Part of the reforms that came about in the 12th and 13th centuries in England, particularly the 13th century, the early 13th century, when the barons rose up and said, no. No, John, you're a dick. We're not going to let you go running around the continent after you and Richard have already fucked away the empire that your father gave you. We're not going to bleed so you can go and get your ass handed to you by Philip Augustus. You're going to have to ask nicely. And from that time forward, every time an English monarch wanted to go to war, he more or less had to take hat in hand and go and say pretty please to the Parliament. So there is precedent for that sort of notion. Did you ever stop to think, because I kind of didn't, that George W. Bush's approach to warfare was closer to that of Henry I than it was to some other American president? Because that's kind of surprising. Or maybe depressing. Subject line, paying for it. David in South Carolina says, did not see people going through all these changes over how to pay for it when it was $1 trillion for tax cuts for the wealthy. You never hear how to pay for it when the USA decides to invade and occupy another country. I know. You only hear that when it could possibly benefit the people of the United States of America. The real people of the United States. The people, not the corporations. Corporations are people too, my friend. Human beings. And that's what we're counting on to oppose Trump among the Republicans in the Senate. Well, happy birthday to Jim. Jim celebrated a birthday yesterday. And that is 74 trips around the sun. Many happy returns, Jim. Flavio, subject line, blood pressure. I'm fortunate that 2 years ago, my dentist took my blood pressure and flagged my hypertension. I was further blessed in that I have a doctor friend who treated me empirically for it, and gratis, titrated the correct dosage of 2 pills, a 90-day supply of which sets me back a total of only $20. As a result, my dangerously high blood pressure is back to normal. Good luck on the doctor appointment. I sincerely hope you are as blessed as I was, and the doctor gets you the right medicine. I take 10 milligrams of amlodipine in the morning. That's Norvasc, a calcium channel blocker, and 25 milligrams of carvedilol 2 times daily, and no side effects. That's a bonus, the no side effects part. I've thought about doubling up on the because I only take 10 milligrams of lisinopril, which is a pretty mild dose. But I don't know. Tomorrow may be spastic enough that I may double up on the ACE inhibitor. 1 year ago today, from today, or 1 year from today, Steve in New York writes, we will be either rushing to seek asylum in Canada, or dancing in the streets after the demise of Pumpkin Pol Pot. Well, I wouldn't call it demise. I would say defeat. Demise is a different party. Steve adding, we are the morons wasting time in considering this question. Joe is a lost cause. We're morons for not moving on and pushing for Medicare for All by either rolling over or walking around Joe. Well, he's in the Senate, and you don't get to do either one of those to a senator. Yeah, honestly, I don't think I've ever seen a picture of her. Brother Deacon Asa says, does Heather Bresch look like Daddy in a bad wig, too? Mansions have famously fabulous hair. What are you talking about? Shelley Moore Capito looks like Daddy in a bad wig. Subject line, Mayor Pete. Ron in Raleigh says, Mayor Pete's the absolute epitome of hubris. Punk-ass won his mayoral seat with 8,500 whole votes in the fourth largest city in Indiana. Just why does this jagoff think he's qualified to be president of the entire U.S. of A? He can't even straighten out the shit in his little city. Yeah, he does seem to want a little seasoning, doesn't he? Don't forget, says Darlene in Connecticut, We have so many, too many Democrats that are corporate Democrats or blue dogs or conservative Dems or establishment Dems. I had one woman who is a PIA that sits on my town committee insist to me that Bernie is a communist. You freaking kidding me? Seriously? And no getting through to her either. Oh, of course not. She's too thick-headed and overconfident in her own intellectual abilities. Another Democrat that doesn't think or look deep enough. Why are we, as liberal Dems, capable of parsing through the bullshit? Why are we, as liberal Dems, more adept at identifying the conspiracies, the lies, the smoke screens? I find it singularly frustrating how stupid people in our own party are. Looking higher up the food chain, Biden, Coons, etc., 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 etc. Tis a puzzlement. Sorry. Never can resist the urge to toss in a line from a great Broadway musical. BP meds, Ron in Raleigh says, I read an article that says BP meds are best taken at night at bedtime. And all this time I've been told to take it first thing in the morning. May have to reevaluate. But overall, there's some other stuff. I'm really sincerely going to try to do some lifestyle change. I've been upping my exercise, and that's good. I always feel better. I'm not carrying a whole bunch of extra me right now. And it's not like I'm sitting there. Do you know what Nitwit Nero's... Sorry we talk about him. Do you know what his standard order is at McD's? I mean, I don't know how that... And you know, Agent Fred, this isn't... This is a scientific query. I don't know how the fucker is still alive. His standard order at 72 years old from McDonald's, he eats it as often as he possibly can because he does not trust the White House culinary staff, some of the finest trained cooks on earth, to cook for him because he's notoriously paranoid about being poisoned. You might want to sit down for this. Or maybe just take a vicarious spare blood pressure pill, and maybe just a vicarious spare statin, and maybe just a vicarious handful of fish oil when you hear this. His standard order from McDonald's, like, you know, when he would send John Kelly out to, or H.R. McMaster, fucking 3- and 4-star generals. I need you to go to McDonald's for me. His standard order at McDonald's is not one, but two Big Macs. And not one, but two Filet-O-Fishes, a large fry, and of course, the hilarious Diet Coke. And he knocks out up to a dozen of those a day, Diet Cokes. The two Big Macs, the two Filet-O-Fishes, and the large fries, they come in at a whopping 2,900 plus calories. One meal. Of course, he doesn't like to eat breakfast. Or if he does, he eats super sugar frosted sugar bombs or super cocoa frosted sugar bombs or something like that. No grape nuts or shredded wheat for him. No. No. No raisin bran. It gets all soggy. You don't even get a half a chance. You don't have a chance with the raisin bran. I mean, it's soggy before the milk even hits it. I can't stand soggy. But yet, you know, we're going to worry about what I eat, which ain't a lot. But anyway, I'm going to try to up the exercise. Maybe that's maybe finally, you know, go and get that gym membership. It would be kind of cool to leave the studio every evening. Agnes and me jump in the car. There's a gym just, you know, not 5 miles up the road. Go in there, put in some cardio, some strength training, whatever. and then come home and hit the hay. But I'm already walking quite a bit, but probably need to push it a little bit more. More than anything else, though, and this is going to be the tough one, got to quit smoking. Just do. And for anybody who smokes, you know how goddamn difficult it is. But I happened to be walking through that big box store the other day, and I noticed that a box of the maximum strength nicotine patches, a 2-week supply, is like $26. Can manage that. And I don't know, maybe if that happens, we'll be sitting here and things will get frustrating and you'll hear the following. And that'll be me smacking the nicotine patch and trying to rub a little extra into my skin. But it all begins, I guess, with this doctor appointment on Friday. Jesus. Oh, okay. Well, thank you to Ron and Raleigh serving as the Horn's ad hoc research department for the evening. The subject line merely reads, "She looks like her daddy." Oh, dear God. Am I ready for this? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she does. She's not quite the horror show that, say, Shelley Moore Capito is, but, well. Then again, Agnes and I both agree that our youngest, Doodle, probably looks more like me than any other of our kids. Darlene, ever the optimist. Hey, look on the bright side. A diet that consists of predominantly McDonald's never bodes well for the consumer of it. No, no. He must be taking some industrial strength statins or stuff or something. I don't know. Well, thank you, Rusty. Great news, says Rusty. Well, you're going to try. Going to try. Because, the worst of it all, because everything else being equal, the worst of it all is the stress that has been going on since early August. Just, wow. Yeah. What's that? Just say niet. I saw something on my news feed about 4 White House idiots refusing their subpoenas today. They were supposed to have testified, and they just said niet. President Donald John Putin is encouraging the White House staffers to stonewall. This isn't a surprise, but I'm sure it makes the hubby in Moscow jump for joy. At any thoughts on this, Bob? I thought the Congress had an inherent power to hold people in contempt. Oh, dear, we better talk about that. Why don't they put the 4 of these assholes in the Capitol basement overnight? Your buddy Dave reporting from the island of sanity and being mobbed by the puppies. Oh, puppies. Puppies will make them smile. There's a lot of people who throw them all in jail. It's so easy to just say that shit. It is a different thing entirely to do that shit. Because the last time they used that contempt power to detain someone was the 1930s. And that may as well have been a different universe, a different planet, and not just a different time. It's not what I'm trying to figure out what it is that because that would trigger a constitutional shitstorm. And I do not feel at all confident about the potential outcome. It's kind of like what happened with the Second Circuit today. The Second United States Circuit Court of Appeals took up the appeal from Nitwit Nero, said, we're not going to address everything in the district court's opinion. We're simply going to point out that the subpoena that was issued by the Manhattan DA was issued and served upon Mazars, a corporation, and they have an affirmative obligation to do what the subpoena commands. It was not served upon Donald Trump, so Donald Trump has nothing to say about it. And in a perfect world where we had a Supreme Court that actually was committed to things like stare decisis and precedent, they'd take one look at it and say, well, we're not going to hear the petition. We're not going to grant the petition denied, Donald Trump. Sit the fuck down now, Mazars. Give up the goods. But that's not the word. That's not the world we live in. When you consider that 5 out of 9 of those judges are Brett Kavanaugh, who believes all the way down to his toenails that the president of the United States is in fact some sort of infallible monarch whose doings and goings-on and pronouncements can never be questioned. I mean, he didn't used to believe that, but he believes it now. And another one is Ann's boy, Neil Gorsuch, who learned at his mammy's knee how to behave in contemptuous fashion toward the Congress of the United States. And another one is Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas. And another one is Sammy Bad Breath Alito, who likes to see people shot in the back of the head at 30 paces who are running away from the cops. And old balls and strikes, John Roberts. Then, once again, that fin stays in my pocket if I'm standing in Vegas or Reno. Because I ain't betting on it. I mean, it's not even 50-50. With this Supreme Court, it's 40-60 or 30-70. And then you get to this part of the carnival shit show, sideshow. And that's when let's say the Supreme Court does what the Supreme Court is supposed to fucking do. And they say, we decline to hear the appeal. Second Circuit's ruling stands. Mazars, turn over the documents. Well, then Nitwit Nero sits over there and says, well, I'll sue you for everything. I'll own Mazar. There'll be so much winning. And those fuckers cave and still refuse to do what the Supreme Court said to do. And how's the Supreme Court or the Second Circuit going to enforce their ruling? These are civil proceedings. Are we going to have Nancy Pelosi put Mazars in jail? They're a corporation. This is some old shit. This is Andrew Jackson saying, Mr. Marshall has given his ruling, now let him enforce it. What we are finding out is the limitations on this country that are exposed when people stop going forward in good faith. Throw them all in jail, says James in Illinois. Wait for the rebound shot on that. And that's not politicking out of, that's not making decisions out of fear. That's making decisions out of recognition of the kind of monsters you're dealing with. But this is the nature of the hot, smelly mess we're in. I'm not trying to be, you know, a little ray of fucking sunshine on this. But let's be a little bit more analytical. I mean, we don't have to be playing 11D-dimensional chess. We just have to acknowledge that there's a chessboard. And who knows, at some point in time, maybe civil contempt will be used by the Congress. But oh boy, that'll be a blast. And I don't use that term necessarily figuratively. On the other side of what Darlene was saying about McDonald's and all of that, Brother Deacon Asa points out, given how much preservatives are added to these fast foods for longer shelf life, I'm afraid those 12 Big Macs a day are helping him last longer. Get your mind out of the gutter. I don't mean it that way. Well, yeah, how's a guy supposed to know? Unless a Brother Deacon, you know, gives him a warning. Yeah, have you ever... Yeah. You know, when we talk about people subscribing to the program, we talk about a $10 subscriber being out less than half of a McDonald's hamburger per day. One of these days, go plink your dollar down and get a McDonald's hamburger. Bring it home. Set it on... Just take it, open it up, and set it on top of your... chest of drawers. Your bureau, what have you. Set it over on the entertainment center, but make sure it's somewhere that if you've got pets or anything, they can't get to it. Because what you're going to find out is the damn things won't rot. I mean, it's amazing. Months can go by, and it will look like you just unwrapped it. Mold won't even grow on it. You don't have to take my word for it, but... Yeah. And just think, if that's the case. Yeah, what did Anthony Bourdain use to refer to... McDonald's hamburger, little gray discs of indeterminate meat matter. Interesting question coming from Roger in the chat room. Any chance John Roberts, serving as a presiding judge in a Senate trial, would dismiss the jurors, the senators that have taken money, i.e. bribes, from Donnie when the trial starts? Nope, because there's nothing that says they can't. And it is not a judicial proceeding. It is sui generis, to use the Latin term. It is its own thing. We've had trials in the Senate before, two of them. And nothing like that was ever done. No, the senators have an absolute right to sit as jurors in an impeachment trial. Although those could actually be their own criminal matters that might be actionable, say, after he leaves office. Someday somebody's going to have a long talk with that boy, Donald Trump, because he doesn't know how deep the shit he's in is. He thinks that if he just tweets and screeches, I mean, he referred to the whistleblower in a tweet as Con, C-O-N. with an exclamation point. Well, you know immediately where my mind went. Con! You know, with Kirk's voice as the camera pulls back from the Genesis planet. Or was it Ceti Alpha 6? Or Ceti Alpha 5? It was terrible. They put things in our ears. Subject line, McBurgers. David in South Carolina Stan says, Peeps, those ramen packets and cockroaches also survive forever. Yep. The only thing that wipes out a peep is a microwave. Flavio pointing out subject line, terrorism. And now we have people saying like that umpire, go ahead, try and remove him from office. We got all the guns. Well, they're trying to threaten us. The question is, are they all a bunch of chicken shit cowards? Or are there two or three that are willing to try to prove that they aren't? Oh, and the big news today, of course, was the beginning of the process of releasing the transcripts. And so today we got the release of Maria Yanukovych, former ambassador to Ukraine. And what a fascinating little treasure trove that turned out to be. In particular, one little note. Let me see if I can find that here. Doesn't seem to be. The bottom line from the treasure trove today is that they were eager to get Ambassador Yanukovych out because they learned that Donald Trump was about to tweet something nasty about her. And they wanted to get her out of Ukraine before any of his cronies could do something to her. I wish I was kidding. Of course, I'm not. Oh, yeah, you forgot, says Ron and Rowley. The eternal foodstuff is the Twinkie. They will last until the sun goes nova. And then they'll be toasty and delicious. Oh, absolutely. So, it's Moran Monday, and, you know, the official, if we have official anything, the official image for Moran Monday is the guy in the St. Louis Cardinals jersey, going back to the Iraq War. He was at a protest, a counter-protest. He was all for the war. He wasn't going to go fight it or nothing. But he was deeply in support of it. So he was holding up a sign that said, "Get a brain, morons." M-O-R-A-N-S. And that, of course, is the origin of Moran Monday. Not moron, Moran. Get a brain, morons. It's in the image that Brother Deacon Asa made that accompanies the podcast every Monday. With, of course, my head atop the guys you know, with the Cardinals jersey and the sign. Well, we have today two morons just it's on a level with that. One of them's a reader. And you never know if any of these people are real. They're, 40% of the information on Twitter is bots? Responding to Nitwit Nero and the guy with a face made for, with a voice made for print, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin.
I mean, I don't know how people can listen to him for 3 seconds, let alone 3 hours. Tweeted the following. Liberals can't read Donald. All they do is watch the news and eat up everything they say. What a force you have become. No wonder Obama didn't run for a third term against you. He was scared. Followed by a guy, and you can't tell if this is parody or not. Even if Obama could have ran for a third term, he definitely would have lost. And I freely confess on the one hand that I want that to be real by a real maggot, just because it would confirm my bias that they are a bunch of, you know, silly, ignorant sods. And on the other hand, I desperately want these to be parodies or satire or bots, because it's terrifying to think that we live in a country with people that breathtakingly stupid. But then there's this. Oh, my Jesus, there is so this. Holy crap. Get thee thy hockey puck, for it is so Moran Monday. This may redefine Moranity for eons to come. We've got a dude who decides to shoot video of himself admonishing America in the direction that America needs to go. Can't quite tell what's on the wall behind him. Looks like prints of old, you know, late 18th, early 19th century paintings. Sort of Gainsborough-esque. And the first thing I thought when I saw the image, I realize we're talking about it, so the limitations. The first thing I thought when I saw the image was, I immediately clicked over to YouTube and fired up and searched Real Men of Genius Toupee. The old Bud Light Real Men of Genius ad campaign that featured bad toupee wearers and a choir of background singers singing things like, "I don't think it's on straight," and lines like, "It couldn't look more fake if it had a chin strap," because dude has that on. I have no reason to think that this is parody or satire. This sounds like your everyday, ordinary maggot. Because in the middle of it, there is a, of course, terroristic threat. Hockey puck.
It's time to put a vote out there to impeach Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Nadler, and Schumer. I'm going to post this on YouTube. I know a lot of people don't watch me too much, but anyway, I'm going to get a thumbs up if you think they should be impeached. And I want to know if you're that stupid to vote for some of these Democrats that are getting up there and promising all this stuff to us and telling us the way.
You're already screaming, aren't you? We're 33 seconds in. And you're clawing at the paint on the walls. You're running around the living room. You're gnawing on the shag carpet. You're hooting like a barn owl because you cannot believe that it's possible to be this stupid in this country here in the penultimate year of the second decade of the 21st century. It's got to be a joke. This has got to be the Onion. No. No, sunshine, it's not. They walk among us. They're there every day. Now, Maggot Man here probably doesn't wear his hair hat, out to the Wiggling Pig or out to pump gas at the Rippy Mart or anything. But they're there. They're there. You caught the part about impeaching Nancy Pelosi and Gerald Nadler and Adam Schiff and Charles Schumer, right? You can't impeach a member of Congress. There's nothing in the Constitution about it. But Nitwit Nero has called for it, and Nitwit Nero's word is law. Right? Yeah. What's that, Steve, in New York? This guy's calling other people stupid as he calls for the impeachment of people who can't be impeached? Yes, precisely. You get the delicious moronic irony of it.
It's time to put a vote out there to impeach Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Nadler, and Schumer. I'm going to post this on YouTube. I know a lot of people don't watch me too much, but anyway, I'm going to get a thumbs up if you think they should be impeached. And I want to know if you're that stupid to vote for some of these Democrats that are getting up there and promising all this stuff to us and telling us the way things are going to be and how they're going to work out when they have no plan, they have no idea, they keep on changing all the time, what they're going to do, how they're going to pay for stuff. They're definitely going to raise your taxes to high heaven. So you might as well, if you're that stupid, you want your taxes to go up, then there's something wrong with you. Your deductions now for each person is like $12,000 per person. If the Democrats get in there, you, oh my God, you won't get no deduction for. So, you know.
Get no.
If you're that stupid to vote for the Democrats, like I said.
I can't get no deductions. Said I can't get no.
You're just stupid. You're stupid. I don't know what else I could say. At least we know what we got with Donald Trump. Things are going great. The economy's doing good. Things are working out. Great thing happened the other day when they took out that ISIS leader. That was a great thing. Big Daddy or Daddy Dog, whatever the fuck his name is. But they need to do that to Adam Schiff and get them down there in that basement down there and blow that motherfucking place up while they're in it. That's what they need to do. And they're such common low-life trash people. And once again, I'm asking you to have repercussions against Schiff, Pelosi, Nadler. You know, stand up to these corrupt Democrats. They are corrupt. The Pelosi's, the Gettys, they're corrupt. Schumer's corrupt. They're all corrupt. Nadler's corrupt. So I'm asking you and begging you to don't be stupid all your life. And just because you don't like Donald Trump's bedside manner. I mean, God, the man is doing a great job. No other president has done it or was going to do anything that we're going to get in off.
Yeah. Maybe it's a joke. Maybe it's parody. Maybe it's satire. But somehow or another, I don't think a comedian, a parodist, a satirist, would include in such work a call to blow up the Capitol or some portion thereof of the United States of America. I just don't. And there is not a comedy writer out there. The late great Norm Crosby, who came up with some of the great malapropisms of the late 20th century, or any number of Archie Bunkerisms, nobody could come up with I want to have some repercussions against. That only happens in the natural world. It's kind of like there are some wild plants out there in the woods that you just can't domesticate. You can make sure they come back every year, but you can't take them home and just raise a crop of them. Ask, and I'll probably get email, you know, because the things I get emails about, ask Italian truffle hunters. Don't you think that if we could just grow truffles on a farm, we'd have truffle farms? Or here in Appalachia, ginseng and ramps. They don't do well in a domesticated situation. Just as this guy can't possibly be doing this as a conscious act of comedy. Who, asks Jim, is this turd? Did I miss something? Jim, this here is Merca. This is that species known as Maggot maggotorum, the maggot of maggots. I mean, you're not going to have no deductions. You got 12,000 now. You ain't going to get none. I guess he's young enough that he doesn't remember when Ronnie Reagan got together and rolled his shirt sleeves up with Tip O'Neill, and they had civility. And along the way, fucked him, fucked me, fucked my generation, and fucked all kinds of people out of various and sundry tax deductions, things like interest on car loan notes, business lunches, things like that. It was called the Tax Reform of 1986. But man, he thinks he's in the pretty smelling stuff. Cause he got $12,000 a year of deductions. And then he wants to run a raid like they done run on that Al Big Daddy Dog or whatever. And he wants to run it on Nancy Pelosi. Adam Schiff, Gerald Nadler. Just blow up that room, that basement in the Capitol. We've had a lot of morons over the years on Moron Monday. this guy is going to, I got a feeling he's going to be up there. I've played this over and over and over again all day long because I trying to figure out if this is real. I don't think you can wear that hair hat ironically. He straps that thing on Friday and Saturday nights and goes down to the Wrinkle Ranch. No, Bob, says James in Illinois. This guy is real. He's not a comedian. In his little circle of friends, he's the smart one. If something needed to be said, old Cletus here is the one his buddies would push up to the microphone. Well, it's kind of like what Darlene was saying earlier about the woman who thinks Bernie's a communist. And will not be dissuaded from her opinion. Ron in Raleigh says, can you say Dunning-Kruger? The meek will not inherit the earth. It seems the stupid will. People love Donnie because they see that he is as stupid as they are, which they mistake for intelligence. There was a letter in the newspaper on Sunday that stated that he didn't like Barack Obama because he was arrogant and looked down his nose at folks. I imagine he meant white folks. Yeah. I mean, he didn't have no beers. He had that one beer with that one black fella, but he didn't have no beers with no white people. Jim noting, wow, gothic America indeed. Horror unbound. Did you say truffle butter? Bob! No, all I said was truffles. I left out the fats. Yes, Sparky, this guy is an idiot. I mean, he's a moron. If you take off, you know what? Oh, I think I know who it is. This is the Get a Brain Morian guy. He's 16 years older. His hair has fallen out, and he's got the hair hat on now. Oh Jesus! Please, sweet fake baby Jesus, let that be the case. Nah, you know what? That's the other thing. This guy's either from, I want to say he's from Tennessee, Arkansas, Louisiana, or Texas. Sorry, Tennesseans, Arkansans, Louisianans, and Texans, but now we're not. I just want to try to place the accent.
It's time to put a vote out there to impeach Nancy Pelosi.
If that ain't East Texas or Louisiana, Stan, I don't know. And that George Bush, Rick Perry kind of, and just looking at him, it went, oh, fuck, Rick, because that's Rick Perry hair. He's got a wig from the Rick Perry collection. Absolutely. Look for that coming to an independent liberal radio show near you. Brother Deacon Asa says, we need to chop up this asshole's audio. It'll make some good drops. Asa previously wondering, how does this brainiac figure out how to get the live stream working every time? That's the thing. They've made it too easy. When they say anyone can do it, they mean anyone can do it.
Shift, Nadler and Schumer. I'm going to post this on YouTube. I know a lot of people don't watch me too much, but anyway, I'm going to get it.
The logic of that, I know a lot of people don't watch me too much. You could spend the next week parsing that one. A lot of people don't watch me too much. Does that mean a lot of people watch me enough? I somehow don't think that was his intent. Steve in New York says, I remember an old show called The Bowery Boys. It was a gang along the lines of the Three Stooges. The smart guy used to say he had to medicate on something before making a decision. I can imagine this guy chairing the weekly meeting of the United Cletuses of Merca saying he had to medicate on something before making a decision. Yeah, well, I mean, I've known those people, not in a TV show, but in real life. He's gone now. He was a friend of sorts. If we were gonna do something, he'd say, "Now, Bob, we don't want to just do this. We want to make preservations first. We got to make preservations before you do something like this." And I'd get calls asking me, had I made preservations? And the day he came in holding his wrist, he was kind of a handyman. He came in holding his wrist and said, Bob, this hurts real bad. I think I got the Carpenter's Tunnel Syndrome. Mm-hmm. Or any one of thousands of West Virginians who will look at their pharmacist and say, I want the name brand. I don't want you to give me that genetic medication. It's real. It's real. Jim says, a native of Dropped Out City, a hair hopper, Bob. Which is nothing like hit a hopper. No. And before I run over to the phones, and we'll get a little bit of phone time in this evening. I got one more moron. We'll have to go to C-SPAN for this one. It's a call from North Carolina. That's all the setup you really need. Well, we're going to talk about Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. I hope you haven't put the hockey puck away, because this guy is going to give that other guy a run for his money.
To back this up. That's all I've got to say at my age. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Mike joining us from Mechanicsville, New York, Republican line. Good morning, Mike.
Hi. That's Mike. Now, this is Mike in New York. If only he'd called him Pedro, it would have been perfect.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My problem is why I got a couple of questions, okay? Why shouldn't Mr. Freak Schiff, why shouldn't he resign? He should resign. That's my first question, because he made up a parody that was just a fabrication, okay? And secondly,
that's my first question. And you think all the stupid people have Southern accents? Ha! Put that in your pipe and smoke it. On second thought, don't. It might hurt your brain. That's my vice question.
Could Chip made up the leaker? I feel like the president needs to know exactly who the leaker is, and I think the leaker is a made-up person. I really do. I think this guy's got connections left and right, and he basically wants... the guy should not be in charge of the Intelligence Committee. There's no way this person... He's so biased against Trump, he needs to step down. He needs to resign.
Hey, Mike, so let me ask you a question. We'll give our guest a chance to respond. Even if you buy the premise that there was no whistleblower, if there were people who were on the call...
Because, just to be clear... That is the latest, the latest thing. Nitwit Nero has convinced himself now that there's no whistleblower. The whistleblower is a figment of someone's imagination, kind of like his press agent, John Barron, used to be a figment of his imagination. Just trying to keep things on track.
Who corroborate exactly what happened, that they contend that there was a quid pro quo, including a member of the national security team who is an Iraq War veteran and an Army colonel. Do you believe him?
I tell you, I have a problem with that guy, okay? First of all, that person was born in Russia. Okay.
Oh, he's born in Ukraine.
Right. He was raised in Ukraine. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what. I'm an immigrant. I'll be honest with you. I'm a German immigrant. I came here when I was 9 years old. I made my citizenship as a veteran.
You really believe he's an immigrant that came from Germany when he was 9 years old? I think you got to be here for a couple of generations to have an accent like that. But now he's playing the I'm a veteran card, so we might want to just be paying attention.
I'll tell you what, I'm an immigrant. I'll be honest with you. I'm a German immigrant. I came here when I was 9 years old. I made my citizenship as a veteran, all right? And I believe...
Wait, did he... I believe. He's believing. Notice the dangerous word. So he came over here and joined the military when he was 9 and got to be a citizenship. What? Edith? Huh?
Ukrainians or Russians, they can't be trusted, all right? And also what I believe in, you tell so many lies, okay, that lies will stick, just like Goebbels, the propaganda minister.
Sure, I understand. But he came here at the age of 3. Let's just deal with the facts. He came at 3, and he is a U.S. Army veteran serving in Iraq and now part of the national security team. But you don't trust him, is what you're saying.
Well, I tell you what. You know, you have immigrants from the East, okay, that are, their views are more social than anything else, okay?
They got those social views, you know. Yeah, the social views. One of these days, one of these Pedros is just going to put on the glasses, pull out the hat, and just start guzzling straight, and it's going to be labeled just like it was in the Three Stooges shorts. It's going to be labeled Old Panther, and they're just going to bloop, 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 you know, while they were making Steve, hi Steve, they were making Steve earn his money today.
They've been indoctrinated into the communist system, okay, and that's what I have, and also what I believe, that colonel should have never even opened up his mouth, okay? He should have served the president, okay?
Yeah, because, you know, okay, he doesn't save the United States of America. He didn't take an oath to the Constitution. He took an oath to Donald Trump, to be loyal to Donald Trump. Fuck the Constitution, because, you know, he's social.
Look at all the generals. You think they're going to open up their mouths? Mm-hmm. Heck no. Okay, they're serving the country. They're not supposed to be political.
So just a hypothetical. If the situation were reversed and this was President Obama, you'd feel the same way?
Obama? Sure I do. I feel the same way.
Whatever that way is, I'm feeling it. Steve in New York. I came here when I was 9 years old, so illegal immigrant. Oh, the goddess of irony, her wonders to behold. Brother Deacon Asa says, Ukrainians or Russians? I want this guy to go say that to a Ukrainian's face. That's as bad as calling a man of color a ginger to his face. Plus, Russians can't be trusted. But Putin can? Oh, it's an onion, Brother Deacon. It's an onion. There are many, many layers.
In terms of a president not speaking against the president.
Excuse me?
In terms of a member of the president's staff not speaking out against a president.
I feel the same. I really do. I think that person, he needs to talk to the president, okay? And that's how far it goes. Okay,
Mike, we'll get a response.
He shouldn't be politicized like that.
Thank you very much.
Well, there are scholars who agree that the president should have sort of...
This is Kimberly Whaley, author of How to Read the Constitution and Why, and she's a law professor at the University of Bulmer. And they've cut to her periodically through the course of dude's remarks, and she's sitting there with her head sort of cocked in that benign way. Well, you know the head tilt of a classical Renaissance Madonna. If she'd had a blue scarf over her head, she would have been a Madonna figure. But whatever she's about to say, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing to Mike, who came here from Germany when he was 9. I guess it's just a good thing that I don't work for C-SPAN. You know what? It's entirely possible that Todd heard this live. Did you hear this live this morning, Todd?
Absolutely. Why do you think I'm telling you? It never gets old. I don't know if it was today, but it's been the past few days have been this is Malaprop Monday. But yeah, I heard him. I don't know what it all runs together, but I remember Law Professor. I remember Mike.
Is it like PTSD to hear it the second time? Does it hurt just as bad the second time?
It's somewhat painful, but it's funny. You know. It's funny, sad.
It's hilarious until you realize they get the vote.
And they walk among us. See, I like that phrase. They walk among us. You know. And then I think about Donald Trump loving McDonald's, and does he ever think about that if people preparing his food most likely don't have health care and they come to work with TB and any other kind of communicable disease? But, you know.
And they might even be undocumented immigrants. But then again, that's why he never goes in person.
Well, sure, they'll poison his food if they see him coming. But oh my God, yeah. But see, you made me think about Washington Journal with the I was thinking Louisiana with the wannabe stand-up comic. Too.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's that or East Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Well, it might have been this weekend, just a couple of days ago, and maybe Steve in Georgia heard this lady call in. This is the open phones part. This lady, probably a black woman, and she said, "Now I want you to give me as much time as you give all them crackers." And it was I forget the guy's name. He's not on that much. He's usually on the weekends.
Just call him Pedro.
And they let it split. Hmm.
Just call him Pedro.
Oh, just everybody's Pedro, yeah.
We're all Pedro now, my friend.
You're all Pedro. And he didn't buzz her out, and she said it again. Yeah, you heard me, crackers. And she said it again. I said, okay, Pedro, we'll call him Pedro. He just sat there, and he just listened. And, you know, it's just, that's why I never get tired of it, though. It's hilarious. In the morning, it gets my blood flowing in between, you know, whatever else is on. You know, and I'm kind of getting schizophrenic here. I'm all over the place, but I was wondering if you saw Morning Joe this morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In particular, and then I'll try to thread this together and not be so scattered, because really I wanted to ask you some things about healthcare. But and it was so funny. The reason I wanted to talk to you is because you started out with that. Okay, but this morning. I thought it was very interesting. Michael Steele and the Move On woman, who I don't care for that much because she whines a lot. I think she's Haitian.
Corinne Jean-Pierre?
Correct. Right. So Michael said his piece about, you know, what was going to happen with the Republican electorate. And Corinne, she just is an optimist. And what they were talking about was what Michael Steele was talking about, which I think is true. I agree with it, and I think it's true. Because I understand the new strategist that the Trump campaign is using. He's got a new spin guy for his media campaign, you know, a new data mining person. And what they're doing, you know, is merchandising his name again, and they're getting these people's names and addresses to try to mine new voters. Because that was an interesting statistic, that a lot of people at his rallies didn't vote for him last time. And that, you know, that's highly shrewd. That's, you know, that's smart.
Yeah, well, the people that voted for him last time have already seen the shtick, so they're not,
Right. I mean, you, granted, you've got an element of maggot rally attendee who goes from rally to rally like people used to go to dead shows.
Mm-hmm.
Only they're weird, old, and stupid. But they're trying to rope the new ones in who have never heard the shtick.
Right.
Because it's
right.
I guess if you're about half a Nazi, it's exciting to hear.
It's exciting to hear because it just corroborates your beliefs. And then, you know, they were saying, wow, they get this free data and they make money on the T-shirts, you know, get over it and the MAGA hat. So that's what Michael Steele was saying. You know, that's a winner. And then Karine Jean-Pierre, she's still stuck on this thing. Well, you know, he can't win with his base. And I keep thinking, I'm like, no, yes, he can. Because his base is situated. That demographic lives where their vote counts more because of the Electoral College. And that's what we have to watch out for. I'm not confident that we are going to win this election. I'm really not.
No, there's only two ways to run an election campaign, unopposed and scared to death. And there's way too many people out there, Todd, who are not scared to death.
Well, they ought to be. Number one, the incumbent is always hard to beat. That's almost three quarters of the battle right there.
Well, see, I remember a long time back before the 2016 election, and it could have been one of those evenings when I was Scott and I were at odds, or maybe it was a mm-hmm. front porch, and we were just counting states. I just pulled up a map of the U.S., an electoral college map of the U.S. And we started counting the states that were sure things. You know, your Arizona, your Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, the Confederacy. And by the time we were done, we were saying, hey, look, all he has to do, and I think we did, we isolated it. You know, if he carries Pennsylvania, if he carries Michigan, we're screwed.
Mm-hmm. 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 Exactly. I remember that October when I called you. I said, "Man, I don't know about this now." I said, "I'm feeling the pulse of my whole stomping ground, and if it's shaky in the Pennsylvania, you know, Philadelphia suburbs, then we don't stand a chance because that's the most democratic place on earth. And if you don't have that, then we're done." I remember that day. I was in the park. It was around Halloween.
And you know, there's another aspect to this, Todd. And, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. Let's say you, an intelligent human being, are somewhere. We'll put you in a bar, I guess. Next to the dude with the hair hat on, who's, who wants to impeach Nancy Pelosi. And you get a spirited discussion going. And you say, well, you know, the fact of the matter is impeachment is not a criminal proceeding. You don't have to have proof of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
You have to meet the level of proof that the Constitution prescribes, namely high crimes and misdemeanors, bribery or treason. And it's not really a legal proceeding. It's a political proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
And dude with the hair hat responds, yeah, but if we don't reelect Trump, you ain't going to have no deductions. You're not, do you understand where I'm going with this? You can't,
yeah, I do.
You can't win against that.
You can't reason with them because they're on a different plane.
And we're all and we're all so nice and civil now that nobody will look at him and go, well, you know, you're an idiot.
Well.
Because then the bar fight breaks out.
Right.
Or you get your ass bounced because you're not being civil. You're not treating the idiot like he's not an idiot.
Right. Right. That's what happens.
And let's just take a quick look at that. Is it okay to say that guy's an idiot?
Sure.
I mean, no, I'm earnest about this because, you know, he probably pays his bills on time. He manages to get his shoes on every morning without hurting himself. He can use the stove. Hell, from the sounds of him, he can probably go outside and smoke you up a barbecued pork pig shoulder and make you weep.
And that's all well and good.
But he, like Ron and Raleigh said, you know, he doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Well,
I mean, between him saying that the economy will crash, that's straight out of a tweet. Or him saying that Nancy Pelosi should be impeached, that is straight out of a tweet, and it's been rebroadcast and reinforced by the likes of Mark Levin and Flush Flimball and the Hannity job, etc. He doesn't have any ideas of his own. Mike there from Mechanicsville doesn't have any ideas of his own. He's saying that, the leaker's fake. And again, that's just repeating a tweet.
Well, that's what they do.
But Steve there can't say, dude, you have no independent knowledge of that. You're just repeating one of Trump's tweets.
Exactly.
Because at C-SPAN, they're not allowed to actually argue with the caller. All you can do is ask him, the only thing you can do is say, well, would you feel the same way about it if it was Obama? And he'd say, oh, yeah, of course.
Well, you know, there are two things, and I'm not trying to get off this track you're saying, because really what you're driving me to say is something I've been thinking, and that, you know what, now that we're going into 2020 in the United States of America, I don't think that everyone should be able to vote anymore. I really don't. We hear too many uninformed people. They're just too fucking stupid. You know, and it's not my fault. I didn't do it.
Can I point something out?
What?
You're making the same argument the framers of the Constitution made.
I realize that.
They said, okay, we'll have direct election of the House of Representatives, but the governor and the state legislatures will appoint the Senate, and we'll let the people think they're electing the president, but they're not really.
Right.
It's going to be the Electoral College.
But it actually was that way up until around 1812 or 13. It's changed gradually. And then they had to go to court, and it kept changing.
Well,
and
Madison was there saying, you know, look, we've got to have a hell of a lot more democracy or this is never going to last. But, you know, you got to give it to them that they were elitists and they were the wealth class. And even when they had limited the franchise to only property owners, they recognized that the average person in the country was probably too stupid to engage in self-government.
Right. But if you break this impeachment argument down, you see evidence of this because, like you said, a lot of people think that it's a criminal proceeding, like if they were accused of a crime. They say, well, he has a right to face his accusers. It's not that type of party. It doesn't work like that. It's whatever the House of Representatives, in other words, if the president has been behaving in any type of reprehensible way, and the House can make a case for it and provide evidence, it doesn't matter. It's not like something illegal if you're out.
And see, this is so important. Dr. Bill, because we're going to be tied up tomorrow, Dr. Bill's not going to be on air tomorrow. He'll be on air Wednesday. But he was on air today. And it is critically important that people listen to today because he took the time to bring the receipts for what impeachment is supposed to mean and why those terms were used. And he talks about Madison pointing out that the president should be impeachable for the fuck-ups of his cabinet. And he talks about what Hamilton thought, I think in Federalist 65 he cited. But it's all there. But it's almost like you've got to find it by accident. Except in the case of Dr. Bill, who is trying to tell anybody who will listen.
Oh, he does a great job. The reruns are great. Well, you know, we've talked about that before. Right. A misdemeanor is a bad behavior. That's what it means, bad behavior.
Yeah.
Misdemeanor.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
But, yes, people aren't getting it. Just like they say, well, why are they having these closed-door hearings? And it's so simple. I want to say, okay, look, we know it's not criminal, but just let's pretend it's criminal for a minute, just since this is all you understand, people. If you're being investigated by law enforcement, do you motherfuckers think that they're going to call you up and say, hey, Joe, you know, we're sitting outside your house in that van and we're watching you move your neck right now. Just wanted to let you know. So when your buddies come by with those Florida tags, yeah, we're going to be out here. That shit doesn't fucking happen. Now, how stupid would that be?
Well, but there's another way to go at it too, Todd. And that isn't, why are they having secret proceedings? Well, because those are the rules that the Republicans put in place there, Cletus.
Well, that's the other part, isn't it?
Because we're following the rules the Republicans made.
But they don't believe that. So let's go back to Washington Journal. This is what I'm in. Oh, please, let's go back to Washington Journal. That's why it has changed my mind. I want to go back to where the way it used to be when we voted. Now, they honestly, a stat significant group, I've been keeping track. It's over 33%. They swear to God that Washington Journal and C-SPAN itself are leaning left because they don't like what they hear. And they are right when they say...
Right, your Domino's pizza shows up and it's got anchovies on it and you didn't order anchovies. So these people look at the Domino's driver and go, fucking liberal!
Yeah, exactly. You know, they don't understand. They just don't understand that, you know, it's simple. They need to take their emotions out of it. Okay, the president and his administration.
That's like taking the air out of a balloon, Todd. If you take their emotions out of it, they got nothing.
They got
not even a squeak. It's all emotion. It's
engaged in negative and antisocial behavior. Therefore, if someone is covering the news, it's not like the president or and his administration. They don't go out and feed the homeless. That would be a positive behavior. Then it can have some feel good because they often say, I mean, you hear people who almost sound normal say, well, why can't you say something good about the president? Because he doesn't fucking do anything good.
Well, there is that.
So
I guess, good evening. This is the news. Donald Trump did not kick a small child today in the face.
Okay. You want to go there. That's how bad you have to twist. Okay. Right. You don't have to twist the arm. You have to twist the spine. You know, come on. Right. So, you know, this is getting ridiculous now. It's like, I'm sorry that the person that you worship, you know, that you are living vicariously through is a misanthrope. You know, it's not my fault. He's a lot like you. You know, like, why don't you just leave him alone? Let him be president. Give him a chance. They're still saying that shit. But this is what I would like to see for Washington Journal. One, because we are where we are in society in America right now, they need to have maybe a panel of social scientists on once a month so they can explain what people
maybe,
are feeling.
But I don't think it would make a difference. Oh, my God, this is kind of a breaking thing. He's having another Clavern rally, this time in Kentucky, Stan.
Uh-huh.
I shit you not. Everybody behind him is wearing a white T-shirt that says, read the transcript.
What transcript?
There is no transcript. We got to
check. That's what I'm saying. It says right on that.
Hang on. We got to check in on this.
Okay. All right.
Whenever I've needed him, whenever I needed him, he was always there. It's true. I mean, sometimes,
Jesus.
Like, I'd say... I don't need your vote, Rand. Good. And he'll vote his own way. He's got that little libertarian touch. That's okay. That's okay. But whenever we need, and I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about we need a vote. He's so incredible, and he's become a really good friend. And I want to have him come up for a second. Rand Paul, your senator.
Oh, my God.
Libertarian touch. They just went crazy.
Read the transcript. You know, we'd love to read the transcript, but there isn't a transcript.
There isn't a transcript. And the piece of papers that they are referring to, it clearly says this is not an official transcript. There are pieces missing. It's not a transcript.
I mean, so could we get maybe Bernie to do a rally and give everybody a T-shirt that says there is no transcript?
Well, that's one approach. That's one approach. Well, you see, okay, and all right.
Or so like, I mean, I'm equal opportunity here. Uncle Joe could do it.
Well, he could do it. Yeah, he can do it. He can do it. He'd be good at that. And that would be easy for him. Then he could just hone in on one or two phrases. That, folks, there is no transcript. Get it through your heads. You know, he can speak like Trump. He can speak plain. You know, but we're dealing with another side that says the facts aren't the facts. And you have people that call in Washington Journal and they'll say, what lies? I've never heard the president's lies. Give me an example. I've never heard him lie. He's doing a great job. What are you talking about? And they really believe that. You know, but I would like to see it at the end of each segment on Washington Journal in the morning for open phones. When people just make outrageously crazy statements and they really believe it's true in a kind way, you don't have to call out the caller, but just refer to facts. Just like, you know, the transcript issue. Well, there is no transcript. So, you know, I mean, it's just true. There is no transcript.
I may be wrong, but I paused it for a second. I don't think Rand Paul and that thing on his head actually said anything. He walked up to the stage, shook Trump's hand, and walked away as quickly as he possibly could.
No, because I
just refreshed it. It couldn't have been more than 30 seconds. Now we're back to this.
Thomas Massie. Man, we just spoke about one of great race, Andy Barr.
He's just name checking Kentucky Republicans now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know, well, you know what's sad? You know who's carrying this silly shit? PBS NewsHour.
Oh God.
Now, does anybody at PBS actually think that the maggots are tuning in to watch Donald Trump on PBS?
Not that liberal station. They wouldn't watch that. Come on, that's too liberal because they tell the truth.
Right.
You know,
Jim just jumped in. Oh, my God, Rand Paul's a hair hopper, Bob. Jim said, hell, I'm scared shitless, Bob. Trump during a second term without any tangible means of restraint or sanction is horrific, to say the very least.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, we have to be real clear about this. Donald Trump re-inaugurated on January 20th, 2021, is game over America. Blue, 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 blue.
I hope Ruth Bader Ginsburg can hang on for a while. I really do. The institutions are broken. Everything's been hollowed out. We don't know what's happened to the salaries that would be paid to folks who should be working. There has in fact been a coup.
Oh, and by the way, because I got to wrap up because I'm doing it a little, making it running a little short tonight because of everything going on tomorrow. One last thing, Todd.
Yeah.
Halloween at the White House. They had a display. for children, of course, they had a display that said, "Help build the wall." And it encouraged people, children, to put their name on a brick and put it in a wall display in the White House.
Were they playing Pink Floyd?
Sorry, no.
That's pathetic.
Oh, okay. So, wait, Rand Paul did say something. Shorty in L.A. said Rand Paul was there to incite. He said subpoena the whistleblower and subpoena Hunter Biden.
I now understand what you're saying about the kids in the wall, and that's really pathetic and sad and terrible.
Well, it reminded me of that song from South Pacific, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be carefully taught.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you a quick question about this nonsense with not nonsense, but this is how far gone that we all are, that we allow them to bring up Hunter Biden when, in fact, he has his children working in the White House and they can't even pass a security check and they've been making money. They are that far gone and they have the gall to even bring something like that up.
You want to hear the weirdest thing I saw all day?
What?
Stephen Miller is getting married.
No. Who's marrying him?
Right. Well, the first thing out of my mouth was not to who, but to what.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't be around that woman or man or whoever.
Well, I just said I thought bestiality was still illegal.
What do the power elite expect is going to happen to us? Because the healthcare situation is unsustainable. I mean, it absolutely is unsustainable.
Well, hold on. Unsustainable to who?
To the country, to anyone.
No, it's
we
not
don't live in a bubble.
It's not unsustainable to the health insurance CEOs. It's not unsustainable to the doctors who cash the checks for denying life-saving coverage. It's not unsustainable for the army of bureaucrats who take in the money and don't send out the money. It's not unsustainable for their lawyers. It's only unsustainable for the people who are going to die. And they're going to be dead anyway.
You can't have people just walking around dead. Otherwise, we're going to have the living dead walking around, driving, and just falling dead while they're driving. I mean, it's just, you can't do that. We can't have a society like that.
We've got to have a cowbell here for Brother Deacon Asa. Stephen Miller's getting married? Who's the lucky Nazi guy? See how it works?
All right, man, you gotta go. What was that play? It was really a male playing a female playing a male. Maybe there were a little Nazis in there. Victor Victoria.
That'd be Victor Victoria. Yeah. All right, Todd, I'm gonna get out of here. I'm gonna work one more phone call in here and hit the road.
Sounds good, man. Be careful tonight, and doing a great job, and I hope everything works out.
Thank you, brother.
Listen, every time you go to sleep, you quit. Remember that. You can do it.
There's a thought. All right.
Sorry?
All right. Talk to you later.
I'll see you.
Bye now.
All right.
And by the way, we had $200 to raise this evening. We still have $200 to raise. So,
we'll see what happens tomorrow. I hope I'm here tomorrow. Depends on how all the stuff goes in the morning. But let's run over to the stress line and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's me, Reggie from Decatur.
Yeah, what's up, Reggie?
I'm
kind of pressed for time. I gotta bug out. I gotta bug out pretty quick. But go ahead and make your point.
How do you feel about a few of the candidates dropping out of the pageant? You know.
Well, not enough of them have. John,
why do you say that, Bob?
John, because John Delaney's still in it.
Yeah.
Marianne Williamson's still in it.
Right.
Tulsi is still in it.
Right.
And on and on.
Right. But who do you wish would drop out? Get up and said, up Chuck and said, fuck it, I'm gone, I'm done.
Oh.
I've had enough of this.
It's a hard question to ask, but I mean everybody I just mentioned should be gone.
Like Joe Biden, for example.
Well, the handwriting probably won't show up on the wall for Joe until Super Tuesday, if at all.
Right. You know, Uncle Joe should be gone.
But he's probably going to lose Iowa. He's going to lose New Hampshire. He's probably going to lose Nevada, and the only thing he'll have is South Carolina, and that's going to prove that he's got the momentum to go and win. I don't know. But, you know, Marianne right. Williamson and Andrew Yang and John Delaney and Tulsi and probably Mayor Pete need to go bye-bye.
Why you say that, Bob? By the way, I thought Mrs. Gabbard wasn't participating this year. How did she claim that she was?
No. She's bowed out of her congressional race.
Oh, right.
She's going to focus on running for president. Which is
right.
Cryptic, to say the least.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, I gotta get out of here, Reggie. I told folks at the beginning of the program I had to cut it short this evening, so I do.
Okay, Bob.
But we'll talk soon, all right?
All right, man.
All right, later.
Have a very good night.
Thank you. You
later.
Too. Bye. And so we're 7 past the hour and I wanted to at least get that call in, but I gotta knock off because tomorrow's going to be a weird and busy day. Cross your fingers. And thanks for the good wishes. Thank you, Jim. And thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to all of you who participate either as monthly subscribers or a la carte. Thank you. Thank you to all of you who participate in whatever manner you choose to and have over the years. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.